Well, good morning. I appreciate everyone making the effort to come out here this morning. I'm going to read or speak three verses, partial verses from the Word of God to start. The first one is, "How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great a salvation?" How shall ye escape if ye neglect so great a salvation? Flee from the wrath to come. And the final one is, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If I were to ask you this morning, if you were to ask me rather, can I be saved? And the challenge of a gospel preaching in a wide range that we have here, new faces, people that have been here a long time, is to keep, to relate the gospel in a way that everyone will understand. So if you were to ask me this morning, can I be saved? I would say yes and no. I would say yes and no. And let me explain that. If you come here this morning and you leave the auditorium at the end of the meeting indifferent, thinking more through the course of this next 35 minutes about where you're going to spend the afternoon, or the hockey game coming up, or anything and everything other than what we present here this morning, then the answer to is, can you be saved? The answer would be no, certainly not at this point. Because God does not save people that are indifferent to the gospel. If you leave here this morning having been stirred in your heart about the truth of sin, righteousness, the judgment and wrath of God, which we're going to speak about this morning to some extent, because I'd be doing you a grave injustice not to warn you, as the Bible does, about fleeing wrath, then the answer is yes, you can be saved. Because you have what the Bible calls a repentive heart. And the only thing left, if you leave here this morning with that type of an attitude, is believe, is faith, is resting in the truth that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost, and more specifically, he came to save you. I hope I have your attention. I've opened a meeting before like this a few years ago, and I quoted this from, it's not my quote, but it says this: "The biggest problem facing all of mankind and every individual on this planet is that God is good." That's your biggest problem, that God is good. Not only partially good, he is 100% pure and good. And the problem is, as most of you might know the answer is, we're not good. And that's a problem. That's a big problem. The Bible clearly states, all have sinned, all have come short, or basically missed the mark to please God. It would be a grave injustice if we were in a courtroom and someone had murdered someone and we were in that courtroom and maybe we were the spouse of the individual that was brutally murdered for no particular reason, just a vile murder. And we were looking for justice. We wanted that person to pay for the crime that he committed. And that judge, as he heard all the gruesome details of the event, would say, yes, he has done that. But let me tell you, before he came into the courtroom, I had a chat with that individual. And, you know, he's done some good. And so upon the basis that he's done some good, I'm going to acquit him. You would say, that judge is out of office. He's lost it. He brutally murdered my spouse, and just because he's done maybe some community work, he's going to be set free. We'd say that would be a grave injustice, and I'm sure you would agree with me. But you know what? That's the way individuals in the world think. They're sinners before a holy, righteous God. And somehow they think that something that they can do in a good deed with some kind of morality, that will excuse them from the judgment of God. I think as we go through this sermon and through these verses, I hope that you'll understand that that's not going to be the case. Because God is 100% pure, and that's a problem for you here this morning if your sins are against you or are still on your account. Romans 5:12 says this, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That's our first established point. That's the starting point for everyone here this morning. You have sinned. You might not say, well, it's really not my fault. There was Adam and Eve, and you know, just because I'm a descendant, the fact remains, you have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I could entitle my message, it would be just the miracle of salvation. And I would propose to you this morning that something that, in order for you to be saved from judgment and wrath, something has to happen in your life that is supernatural, something out of this world. It's a miracle. It happens to individuals one at a time, and it's the miracle of salvation. It's a work from above. The Bible calls it being born again. It's called rebirth. You were born unto your mother. You need a spiritual rebirth. You need to become new from the inside out. And it's through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a simple message this morning. I'm not a very complicated guy. I have one verse. I want to have four little points on one verse. In the book of Isaiah, it says this, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." I want to be very clear here this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, if you don't attend here regularly, we're not looking for you to put money in our offering plate. We're not looking for you to become a member of this meeting. If you do so in a coming day, that would be great. Not so much membership, but fellowship, partnering with us in the gospel. But that's not our goal. That's not why I'm here this morning. The whole idea of the gospel presentation is that you might come to understand your need of a Savior. If you've come here this morning and you're depending on some of the good things you've done in order to win favor with God, and you've heard this often, it will not profit you. As a matter of fact, it will condemn you. Because the Bible says, all your good works are as filthy rags in His sight. And you might say, well, that is pretty harsh. How could that be? I'm a pretty good person. But independent of having a relationship restored with God through the person of Jesus Christ, any works in order to attain merit with God fall short. And they will eventually end you in a place called hell. One man has said that hell is hell because of Satan. And heaven is heaven because of God. I beg to differ. Hell is hell because of God. Do you hear me? Hell is hell because of God. God is in control. God is in control of judgment. God is in control of wrath. God is in control. He is a sovereign God. It says in our verse, I am God and there is none else. Do not think that God is not in control. And if you end up in a place called hell, it's because God made you pay for that because you did not receive the truth of the gospel. God is in control here this morning. I trust He is working in your life and He is speaking to your heart here this morning. Come unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. 4 points. Turn toward. Come unto me. The second point, understand the command. It is a command to obey the gospel. Come unto me and be ye saved. It is a command. It is an act of obedience. It is an act of the will to turn to the Savior, to repent of your sins, and to rest in the fact that your sins were taken care of when God the Father poured out His judgment on His Son. Turn toward, understand the command. Who is the giver? I am God, and there is none else. And the final point I'm going to speak on is determine the way. There is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So I'd ask you this morning, whatever circle of religion, whatever type of, whatever train of thought you may or may not have concerning eternity, or maybe you haven't even thought of eternity, I would ask you to have an open mind. I would ask you to listen to the truth. Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. It's a reasonable thing to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a reasonable thing to do. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. They'll be red like crimson. It'll be white. Your sins will not be against your account if you repent and believe on the Savior of the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What is the definition of salvation? We speak this word salvation. Well, it has right in it saved. And the opposite of that would be lost. So let's just read it. Salvation by definition, a work of God for the individual that happens in the heart, resulting in saving that person from the guilt and penalty of sin. You're under the condemnation that is associated with your sin. Another definition that I looked up. Spiritual and eternal deliverance granted immediately by God to those who accept His conditions of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom alone it is obtained. Turn toward. That's our first point. Turn toward. I'm asking you this morning, just think about Him. Come. That's what the prophet's saying. He says, come. Let's consider this morning. Let's consider the truth of the gospel. Let's consider Him. Turn your attention towards it. There's a verse that says this. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We speak of the Lord Jesus, the perfect Son of God. We speak of his virgin birth. We speak of his life here. He lived a perfect life. And had he exited the scene at that point, after 30 years of public ministry, and God just took him home, I want to tell you, we would have no salvation. His purpose was at the end of his stay here on planet Earth, when he went to that place called Calvary. And that's where God, although he's good to humanity, he gives us breath, he gives us food, he gives us so many things. Nothing tops the love of God towards us when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that place called Calvary. If you're not saved here this morning, I want to say this very seriously. Your only association with that work, meaning the Lord Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary, your only association with it is the fact that you're guilty of nailing him there, so to speak. Your sin. You're guilty. You're as guilty as the Roman soldiers that nailed him there. That's it. That's the end of the road. And if you die in your sins, you'll have the same plight as those. You're under the condemnation of God. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. What God did for sinners, therefore, is an expression of his constant attitude towards them, not willing that any should perish. You are either on his side or you're not on his side. You're either saved or you're lost. The Christian here has no other claim on heaven, do we? We have no claim on heaven apart. Save, I want to read a verse. God forbid, as a saved man, God forbid that I, John DeVries, would glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have absolutely no claim on heaven. I'm as guilty as you are. The only difference is that I have turned as a change of attitude and understood that I was a sinner, condemned. The Bible says condemned already. And when I got to that point in my life, I repented of my sin. I was not saved yet. And then I looked. And that's what we're asking you to do this morning. Consider. Just consider him. Remember, salvation is from above. If you have an anxious thought about your soul this morning, it's nothing from within. It's from above. It's a work of God in your life. And I ask you just this morning to consider the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid us that are saved, that we would glory in any other thing. We have nothing to boast of. It's by the grace of God. Through his mercy, we sang it this morning. He has granted us forgiveness upon the basis of faith in him. Understand the command. You need to obey. Be ye saved. He's saying, be ye saved. Be ye saved. Or you'll die and you will perish. Be ye saved. He's commanding it this morning. It's a command. Are you going to obey the command? Or are you more concerned about your lunch with your family? Are you more concerned about the hockey game? Are you more concerned about your career? Are you more concerned about your financial stability? Are you more concerned about your children and their hockey games and their soccer and everything else? And your soul will die and you'll be under the judgment of God. Understand the command, be ye saved. What is required of me? We've talked about it. What's required of me? Well, I'd like to answer that question is, what is not required of you? What is not required of you? Your good works isn't required of you. You don't have to clean up your act before you get saved. Come as you are. Guilty, bankrupt, in need. You see, that's what lost means. It says you're in need. If you're lost in the woods, you need to be found. I've never been lost in the woods, but if you're lost, if your soul is lost, then you need to be found. And there's a Savior that came to planet Earth, and it says he came to seek. He's looking for you this morning. He's looking for the lost ones. Many of us know that parable about the 100 sheep and the one that was lost, and he left the 99 that were secure, and he went out and he found that sheep that was lost. Is that you here this morning? Is God speaking directly to you? You see, this is where all the religions of the world go wrong. They're somehow trying to attain merit with God through different types of works, different types of morality and good things. But it would really be senseless if that was the way to salvation, that the Lord Jesus would ever have come to earth. Because why would he die? Why would he die? If it was somehow you could gain favor and do it on your own, he would have just have been well to stay in heaven and received you up into glory whenever your life was over and say, you know what, you did pretty good. I'm going to let you in. It's not on the basis of that. It's not on the basis of your self-righteousness. It's on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Listen carefully here this morning. I ask you to listen carefully. The only condition on which one may be saved, according to the Scripture, is believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you might say, John, you every time you get up here, it's the same old thing. You're preaching the gospel. Don't you have anything else in your little book there? Don't you have any other truth? I'll tell you what. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important than knowing for sure your sins are forgiven. I don't care. Come to me later and give me something that is more important presently, this day, this hour, this minute, in knowing that you are on your way to heaven. Nothing. I don't care how many billions of dollars you may have or not. There's nothing more important than a soul trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What is that life we're speaking of? The life of the Lord Jesus. Well, we know that by sin, there was death. And that death means separation. And you might say, well, big deal. I don't feel God's in my life now. What's the difference? Separated from him now. I want to tell you, you will not want to be separated from him for eternity. Because he is sovereign and he is Lord. And he is Lord of your life right even now in the respect of who he is. And you will bow the knee either now and trust him for salvation, or you will bow the knee in a coming day of judgment. My Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue. You will confess him now or you'll confess him later, but you will confess that he is God. But you might burn. You might be condemned for all eternity. You know what? We don't like to hear that. It's not something that we talk about a lot, but you know what? Flee from the wrath to come. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says you'll be cast into a lake of fire where there's torment and gnashing of teeth. Warning, 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 people. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people go that way. That's what the Bible says. But it says there's a narrow way, and it leads to life eternal. Don't leave this building indifferent to the truth that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you more than anyone could ever love. You know what? I'm not a very sentimental guy. I know I'm bawling here, but in my home, my kids sometimes say, Dad, you get no heart. You get no, you know, you're just indifferent. I'll tell you what. Jesus Christ loves you with a love that I couldn't even begin to explain. He gave his life for you. He loves you tremendously. And he's not willing that you would go to that place called hell. He is long-suffering. That means he's patient. He's waiting for your response. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. I'm reminded of that verse when we present the gospel as preachers or as, this isn't the only place, on the street, to your neighbor, in humility. I'm trying to think of the verse. Peradventure they give them knowledge unto the truth. Humble. Basically, our attitude towards the lost should be not one of, we're no better than them. It's only by the grace of God that we have the truth. And we need to present it in a way that's humble and caring. Because we've been rescued. Jesus Christ came, and it was kind of like a rescue mission. He says, you know what? They're all going to fail down there. All these people, all the families and generations are going to continually fail. And they're struggling to somehow get to me. I have a plan in place. It's going to make it very easy for everyone to come to me. I'm going to send my perfect son. That was his plan. It was always his plan. And by turning to that son who died at Calvary, where God poured out the judgment that you deserved, and that I deserved. And I don't know exactly what all that was, but I'll tell you what, it was tremendous. It was enough to save us. I know that. It was enough to save us. That's how much he loves you. So is the way of the way that we speak of, determining the way, in my last point, determine the way. It's narrow. This is it. Not to say that this is the only place in Charlottetown that speaks truth. There's many places. But I'll tell you what. The way back to God is very narrow. It's very exclusive. And there's only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other way. For there is no other name given among men. Let me read this. I don't want to misquote it. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gate is straight and the way is narrow. The world has many ways, but they're all boiled down to the same form of self being involved. Everything has been done. You need to rest in the finished work of the cross work of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. There is a way. Maybe you're saying this morning. There's another way. It seems right to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And maybe that's where you're here this morning. Maybe that's where you're at. There's another way. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I feel pretty good about what I'm doing. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't want to be separated from God. You don't want to fall under his condemnation, under his wrath. This whole idea of salvation, a miracle, when it does happen, it changes you. And so we're not promoting here this morning just a little prayer and walk out the door and then just continue as you are. By their fruits you'll know them. The salvation of soul is a work of God. He does it in a very complete way. Not that you are complete. You strive to please him, but you have a new attitude. And so if you walk out these doors saying, you know what, that preacher guy, I tend to agree with him. I'm going to trust Christ. I'm just going to do it. And you walk away and there's no change and you live as you were. You have no different look upon other people. I would take a good hard look at what happened or if it ever did happen. Because when God saves an individual, he changes them. We're not perfect, but he changes our attitude. I never had a desire to see someone in this meeting who I don't even know be saved before. I never had that before. It's because it's the love of God through a Christian that would ever provoke such a thing. I would implore you this morning, come unto me and be ye saved. It's an invitation, it's universal. It invites every individual in this auditorium, every person in the balcony, come unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And I'm thankful for this, for I am God. I am thankful it relies on him and not me. I am God, he says. I am the holy, righteous one who is sovereign, meaning all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. He knows exactly what you're thinking about right now. For I am God, and there's none else. His way is a narrow way, but it leads to the cross. It leads to your appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. I hope I've been clear. I don't have all the answers. I've got lots to learn, but I do know this. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I have no other hope. I have no other stay. I have no boast in anything, only that Jesus Christ died for me. Is that the case for you here this morning? Do you know for sure? You can know if you just trust him. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a work of God. If you have an anxious thought this morning, if you want to come and talk to me, I can share some verses with you. I cannot save you, but I can direct you to the one who can. I'm sure there's others here that will do the same. I trust you'll consider the truth of the gospel here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is the Savior of sinners, that he loves men and women, boys and girls, even when they've sinned against him. And Father, when he spoke to his Father in heaven, he says, here am I, send me. He was willing, knowing all that the cross entailed, he was willing to go there. Obedient to his Father, knowing that he would complete a work that would save men and women, boys and girls from their sin and give them the life of God, which is eternal life. And Father, we need that life. I trust you will honor your word, Father. I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning And we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We have just